Eternal God, our Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, oh God, to bless you and to praise you, to give you glory and to give you honor. Lord, your presence is here in this place. And we thank you, oh God. We thank you for visiting us, Father God. We thank you for divine visitation. And Father God, we have enough sense to know that when you show up, you don't just show up to sit. You show up, Father God, to create. You show up to brood. You show up to birth. And we just thank you right now, God, in the name of Christ Jesus, through your blood, oh God, that you will do a work in this place. I thank you, Lord God, that we were tricked today. We came thinking that we're going to have church as usual. God, you're going to change some things in our lives. We will leave this place and we will never, ever, ever be the same, oh God. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. And everybody who believes it to be so, say amen. Amen. Glory to God. I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody happy to be in the house of the Lord today? You can be anywhere else, but the Lord said, do not forsake yourself the assembly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to share just a little bit with you today about the power of the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We sing the song, we drive in our cars, but do we really understand the power of the blood, what the blood does, what the blood represents? The blood of Christ heals. The blood of Christ restores. The blood of Christ delivers. And the blood of Christ works things out for our good. We have sicknesses and diseases. We have sicknesses in our minds and our emotions, but the blood of Jesus can heal that as well. We need restoration because things have been broken inside of us. Broken relationships. Anybody been there? Broken vows. Broken promises. Those are things that can affect us and shift us and put us in a direction and on a trajectory that God never intended for our lives. But the Lord comes to bring restoration. He will give you beauty for your ashes. Anybody need beauty for their ashes today? Anybody sat on the side of their bed crying like, Lord, I can't do it another day. I can't make it another day. But it is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus that comforts, that heals, and ultimately saves. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. The blood of Jesus delivers us from ourselves. I said delivers us from ourselves. Because some of the things that happen and go on in this lifetime, we know that because sin exists, that we are subject and subjugated by different things and circumstances. But there are some things that we just happen to fall upon on our own. But the Lord, even in that, has a plan and has a purpose. See, just because we sin, because we fell in the garden, God loved us so much that he already had a plan. And most people say, well, if he's God, if he's so almighty, why didn't he just erase it? Why didn't he just start all over? Because God and his sovereignty and his providence, even he is governed by his spiritual principles and laws. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus. There is no more powerful force in the universe than the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is no gift that God has given us that is more important than the blood of Jesus. But yet so many Christians do not fully comprehend the depth, the value, and the power. Our focal text today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to take the first few, and then my rib tip will come up and finish up the last part of it. Amen. The writer of the book of Hebrews wants to exalt who Jesus Christ is. He wants us to understand the deity of Christ. Because, see, back in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, we had to atone for sin because we just could not keep the law. There was over 600 laws that the Israelites had to keep. That's a lot of laws. And some of us may say, well, you know, if we had God right there with us, we had the cloud and we had the fire, we should be able to trust and believe in a God that is sitting right there before us. And so we say things like, how are they so stiff-necked? How come they couldn't follow the law? Anybody ever had a traffic ticket? Anybody ever had a moving violation? It's the law, but we still break the law. Glory to God. So the law, the Lord didn't change it, but he did make propitiation for it. So the priest would go into the most holy place and they would atone for our sins, which means to cover our sins because we couldn't do it ourselves. So the poor little bullocks, the poor little goats, those things that were set aside and sanctified for the sacrifice, every year this had to take place, and the priest had to do it for himself and for all of us back then. As a matter of fact, it's still done today. Yom Kippur is just a few days away, and that is the Jewish people, our Jewish brothers and sisters, will celebrate the atonement with Yom Kippur, starting on Tuesday, ending on Saturday. But thanks be to God who causes us to triumph. We have a Savior who we no longer have to use goats and bullocks and rams and lambs. The ultimate sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of Jesus Christ, is all that we need. But there's a caveat to that. Verse 11 says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. The reality that I just spoke of today is the reason why Jesus had to come. He atoned for our sins once and for all, because the provisional sacrifices that were made, they were not enough. They were temporary, which is why it was every single year. Aren't you glad that when you make a mistake, you can get on your knees and fall down on your knees with a true repentant heart and know that God has forgiven you? You can get up from that thing and you can move on. But sometimes we don't move on the way that we should because we still have a level of guilt sitting there in us somewhere. And why is that? Why is that? Is there something wrong with our faith? Is there something wrong with our belief? As Christians, we say, well, I believe. But James tells us in the book, the second chapter, verse 19, that even the demons believe and they shudder. See, they know, and some of them know even more than Christians, who the deity of Jesus Christ is. They saw him come to earth. They saw him walk this earth. They saw him minister. They saw the miracles. They saw him die on the cross, and they know that they are a defeated foe. They know what the book says at the end, but they believe, and so do we. So what's the difference? You ever ask yourself, so what's the difference between our belief and the belief that the demons have? Good question. Glad you asked. Demons believe, but they do not have the sozo faith of Jesus Christ. Sozo in the Greek is a saving faith. A faith that can save us is a faith that can change us. When you are truly tied up, yoked up with Jesus Christ, there's some things that you're just not going to do anymore. There's some appetites that just don't appeal to you anymore. There's a walk that you're going to have. Now, there's a song that says, I looked around, my hands looked new, I looked down, my feet did too. I'm not talking about a physical transformation. I'm talking about a spiritual dissection where the word of God gets into you and causes you to walk in his statutes and precepts. Because you see, God is more concerned about what we are becoming than anything we can ever do for him. We can sing, we can usher, we can deacon, we can have life group, we can even preach. But our primary calling is to be one with Jesus Christ. How many people are looking at us and saying, I want that Jesus, I want what Vicki has. I want that, I want what she has. And it doesn't mean that I'm happy all the time, but I do know where my hope lies. I do know that there is a Jesus who is interceding on my behalf. So even when it's bad, people, it's good as long as Jesus is on the throne. Amen? The blood of Christ, the blood of Christ. Verse 12 says, with his one blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. That is the foundation of the Christian faith. Redemption. Redemption. That means he ransomed us. He salvaged us. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. That means we are saved. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's it. Nobody can take it from us. Now, that is not carte blanche to go out and act the way you want to act, because once again, when you have a repentant heart, when God's Spirit is in you, it will cause you to walk that he said, the way that he wants you to walk. So we have a problem then, going back to the demons. How is it? What is it? I believe. Anybody ever feel like they're away from the Lord? You're a Christian. You're coming to church. You're serving. You're paying your tithes, your offerings, following all of the tenets. Is there ever a time when anybody ever feels like, I just feel so far away from him? Can anybody be honest? Don't wave your hand. Just blink your eyes. Can anybody be honest? Do you ever feel like, I don't have the enjoyment of Jesus Christ? This thing that they told me that I would have. Let's just be honest. You can't be transparent and open in the church. I don't know where you can do it. Glory to God. And part of it has to do with the confession, not understanding what it means. There has to be an alliance. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believe that unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The demons believe, but it's not unto the heart. It is a mental agreement that they have. And some of us are walking around with a mental agreement. And that is why we are not enjoying the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is why we can't whip the devil and get him off of our backs. That is why our children are going wayward. That is why our marriages are in shambles, because we don't know that we have the power. We have the power because of salvation. That is the greatest thing God has ever done for us. So here's how it works. I confess with my mouth, I have to believe in my heart. But we've said that before, right? At conversion, we accepted Jesus Christ, and we became saved. All was good. Went home, and all hell broke loose, and hell has been, you know, running rampant ever since. So what is it? It has to really, really be a true confession. I have four children. When they were little, they're all 4 years apart. Praise the Lord, they're grown now. When they were little, they were just all over the place. Anybody have children? Anybody ever experienced young children in their house 3 years apart? Anybody babysitted for somebody? There were times when I would go, oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. These kids are going to drive me crazy. Oh, my God, they're going to kill me. You see, what I said out of my mouth, what I confessed out of my mouth did not bear witness with what was in my heart. So I'm still here. I did not die. I'm not going crazy. They did not kill me. You have to apply the same principle when you are speaking and confessing the word of God. Where is that saving faith in you? Where is that belief that no matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord, and it's a matter of lordship? We get saved and we say, you know what? I'm the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. I know, Lord, I see that. And do you know the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but we can push the override button? You guys know what the override button is. They jump in front of you on the freeway, and you let it slide. And then they do it again, and you drive on the side, and you throw up a little sign language. You hit the override button, and you got the ichthus on the back of your car. You got Jesus saves on the back of your car. God is more concerned about who we are becoming than anything that we could ever do for him. Glory to God. I'm going to move down. I still have a little time. Verse 13 says, and I'm going to combine 13 and 14, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, that's a young female cow, could not clean people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. So there were so many laws. There were food laws, and there were purity laws, and there were ceremonial laws. It was just so much, it was not possible for us to keep them. 600? We can't keep the Ten Commandments. So God is good. God is good. He finds a way of escape for us. Verse 14 says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds, which is dead works, so that we can worship the living God. Now, the implication there in verse 14a is that if your conscience is not purified from dead works, you can't worship God. So if you are sitting in a place and you're going, I'm trying. I see everybody else, and they're reaching. I see this move in the house of God, and I'm not there. I don't feel it. Well, perhaps there's something hindering your worship. You have got to get, you can't have two people. You can't have two masters. One is going to govern. One is going to lord over. And if you give God your yes, if you allow him to lord over your life, he will do it for you. The Lord will bless you, and he will do it for you. I'm not going to say that we're not going to have problems, because in this life we will have trouble. But the Lord says, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Now, that is a contract that I can live with. Praise the name of Jesus. The other thing I want to say is when we are not purified by our conscience, we think that we can do things and people can't see it. We think that we can live any kind of way. But I'm going to tell you, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. The words that are coming out of your mouth, the sneers and the snarls and the eyes and all that, God is not pleased with that. He is not pleased with that. And at the very least, we are saved. God saves us for ourselves. But once you get the full understanding and the knowledge, he wants you to move out and to go to the outermost parts of the earth. Praise the Lord for Pastor Tony and what he is doing in the mission work that's going on here, because he wants us all to be saved. And guess what? He's not coming back until we've all had the opportunity to hear this wonderful, glorious, work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So how many of you are doing your job and sharing the gospel? How many of you are making certain that when you leave and you're in the highways and the byways, you're sharing the gospel? Don't you know that if you're having hard times, and sometimes, you know, we go through life, life happens. Even the most sanctified Christian goes through stuff, marital stuff, financial stuff. We go through stuff, but let me tell you, when you get on your knees and you pray for somebody else, the Lord is going to take care of your stuff. He's going to make sure that it's all good. Before I sit down, I want to remind you of a slogan. Back in 1975, there was a slogan by a credit card company, and it was called the something something card. Don't leave home without it. What was the card? American Express. See, how do we know that? That was 1975. The American Express card, the advertisers were so smart. That's what brand marketing is about. What is your brand? What is your brand? I'm a child of the King, but what is your brand? What is your 60-second message when people meet you? What is it saying? That's all you got when you meet people, 60 seconds, before they size you up and go, oh, she's, oh, all right, well, praise the Lord. So American Express advised consumers, don't go anywhere without this card. Don't travel state to state. Don't travel country to country. Don't travel anywhere in this world without this card because it's your security, the Amex card. Well, Jesus has a spiritual Amex for us. And when we leave here, we're going to need it. A-M-E-X, after my existence expires. Where will your final destination rest? I dare say without the blood of Jesus, it is a hopeless destination. And I'm going to tell you right now, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I say it's better to get on the winning side before the end times. Don't leave your eternal security in the balance. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, there is power. We don't have to cry. We don't have to beg for anything. We don't have to faint. We don't have to worry. Yes, in our humanness, we will experience those things, but you have to get that beyond the mental agreement, and you've got to confess and know that the saving faith of Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of my life. He is the Lord of my life. And there are some rights and privileges that go with that. The tagline to American Express said, membership has its privileges. Membership in the kingdom of God has its privileges. I praise God and I thank God for the gift of eternal life. And I thank Him for the blood of Christ Jesus. I put the dot, dot, dot. Here comes the exclamation mark. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. She's already laid the foundation, so I'm not going to lay a foundation again because it's already taken care of. I'm going to skip down to verse number 15 because this is the wholeness of what this passage is saying. That is why He is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them, for Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins that they have committed under the first covenant. Here, if Christ would not have gone to the cross, if Christ would not have went into the grave, the blood of Jesus wouldn't have mattered. Because when you look back at the blood of the bullocks, the doves, and everything else, that blood really doesn't matter unless it's mixed with faith. And when it's mixed with faith, amen, God says, when Jesus comes, when He comes, what you did in faith back then will be an IOU from me to you that your sins will be forgiven. I'm going to forgive you if you only do it with faith and you believe in the blood of Jesus. So Jesus is the mediator. You know what a mediator is? A mediator is one that is an arbitrator. He's the go-between. He's the one that's in the courtroom of God right now, interceding for you and I. He brings our sins to God. Well, we bring our sins to Jesus, and God looks at our sins through the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Because there is power in the blood. I was thinking about that, the power in the blood. I looked up and I said, how long will it take before the DNA actually runs out of dry blood that's on the ground? And when I looked at it, they said it takes 512 years before the DNA even leaves dry blood that's been on the ground that long. They can still get the DNA out of. They can still get the makeup out of. So the blood has power even when it looks like it's dead and dry. The blood has power even when it looks like you can't make it. All you got to do is call the blood of Jesus. Amen. When somebody's acting up all in your face, say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. This is under the blood. Amen. When you have an argument and a disagreement, we're going to put this under the blood and leave it under the blood because the blood has power to change us. Amen. The blood of Jesus. See, when you're blood washed, your actions are different. When you're blood washed, you're not what you used to be. Amen. When you're blood washed, you won't be in the strip club. When you're blood washed, amen. I got real quiet right there because, see, somebody said, I was just there last night. I was thinking about going, amen. And here's the thing. The strip club is not just for men anymore. Okay. I'm at the wrong place, amen. When you're blood washed, your mind is changed, amen. Because I am blood washed, I can be committed to this woman faithfully, amen. She don't have to be around me for me to be right. When you're blood washed, amen. See, if you're not blood washed, you can do whatever you want to and then bring that nasty mess home because you ain't blood washed. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power there because God speaks to you when you're getting ready to do wrong. Because he said, I paid a price for you. I paid a price for you. I died for you. Amen. And if you die for somebody, you want somebody to act right because you died for them. I gave my life for you, and you're going to act like this? You're going to go out there tripping like this? What's wrong with you? You're some kind of new crazy, aren't you? Amen. Because you're out there doing stuff that you ain't supposed to be doing, and you're supposed to be, you've been bought with a price. Amen. I laid my life down for you. Nobody will lay their life down for you. That man you tripping with, he ain't going to lay his life down for you. That woman that you out there with ain't going to lay her life down for you. She'll leave you as soon as your money leave. I don't have a witness in this place. But that's all right, amen. But see, here's Jesus. He laid down his life. He said, I laid down my life for you so that you could have the right to the tree of life, amen. I laid down my life for you so that you can have eternal life, amen. And because he laid down his life for us, he did all of this because of the blood. It has so much power, amen. And here's another thing. The blood is so powerful that if it leaves your body right now, you're going to drop dead. See, blood, there is life in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's saving faith in the blood. But it's all in the blood of Jesus. I thank God for his blood. Amen. I thank God that I'm covered in the blood. I thank God because of who Jesus is. Amen. Because he becomes my mediator. He's my arbitrator. An arbitrator is one that has the final say. And an arbitrator, when they make arbitration, amen, that's it. This is the agreement between two parties. This is what we agreed. This is what the agreement is. And this is the final say. Jesus has the final say that you're saved to the utmost. Amen. You don't have to get saved and saved again. Once you become born again, you're born again. Now, do you mess up every now and then? Hey, amen. We mess up every now and then. That's why the blood comes to say, let's cover that. Let's cover that in the blood, amen. Let's cover that, amen. And some of us need covering this morning. Some of us need covering right now because the thoughts that we're having right now, we need covering right now. And you sitting up in the church house and your mind is somewhere else. Call your mind back because under the blood, God will forgive you. But it does not give you the right to act any kind of way you want to act. Because you got the blood on you. The blood will have you acting right, amen. Some get right, as the young folks used to say. It give you some get right, amen. They act right. Act, make you act right. The blood of Jesus on your life. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. And because there's power in the blood of Jesus, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time needed most. Let us come because of the blood, I can now come to the throne of God boldly. Without Jesus going to the cross, I couldn't even make my way to the to the throne room of God. Kind of reminds me of the priest, the high priest. You know, for years we've always heard that the high priests have gone behind the veil to make atonement for our sins. And we often heard this myth that he went back there with a rope tied around his ankle. That couldn't be true. For the simple fact, the curtain was 30 feet wide. It was too thick. And if they would have tried to pull him out, he would have been so mangled by the time they got him out of there. They said, well, if he went back there, he had bells on his robe. Yeah, he had bells on his robe when he went into the holy place. But not the holies of holies, because you had to go in there in your tunic, in your garment, not with bells on. Because see, you can't go behind that wall unworthy. He said, if he dropped dead back there, well, if he had to make atonement before he even went back there. So if he had a rope tied to him, it wouldn't make sense, because you couldn't pull him out anyway. It's like me trying to pull him from that door to here through a curtain that thick. And the curtain, it just wasn't one curtain, it was a maze of curtains that got you to the holies of holies. And the reason it had to be a maze of curtains, because the glory of God was back there. And you couldn't stand to look on the glory of God, amen, in the form that we're in. So the glory couldn't just seep out, because everybody would have been dead. So the priest went back there to make atonement, amen. So Jesus is our high priest, who now makes atonement for us. He is the one who has entered into the holy place, amen. And he's sitting at the right hand. I like to say Jesus is sitting at the right hand with his legs crossed. And when things come up, he say, yeah, well, Father, yeah, I know they did that, but look at my blood. That's all I want you to see is my blood. Because if you see anything else, they're not worthy. But if you see my blood, then they can be righteous in your sight. See, the blood is like forensic glasses. See, the blood covers so much. I thank God for the blood. How do you go around this world without Jesus and unblood washed? I don't get it. I know, because I'm saved now. And before I was saved, there was always a tugging. And see, the tugging is the Holy Spirit is out there doing his work. And he's calling us in to a place of safety and security in Jesus Christ. Do I have hard time? Yep. Do I have financial difficulties? Yep. When the bill collectors call, I don't get mad. I made that bill. Some of us so holy and sanctified said, look at the devil. That ain't the devil. You went out there and maxed that card out. You went out there and extended yourself further than you were supposed to, and talking about, come on, church, pray for me. The devil is after me, trying to get me to. No, you need to pay that bill, because the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing. So you need to get a budget. Learn how to spend your money the right way. You don't need everything that you see. You don't have to get everything that's in the store. But because of the blood of Jesus, he has kept us in this present age that we're in. We live in a country right now that is so messed up. And some may, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, it don't matter to me, amen. Some may get up a little bit upset about what I'm about to say. We're in a country where the White House is allowing anything to go on and everything to go on. And they put it under fake news. It ain't fake news if I'm getting hit upside my head with a billy club. That ain't fake news. That's for real. But the blood of Jesus. See, when the church starts pleading the blood of Jesus over everything, when the church starts calling on the blood of Jesus, amen, things will change. See, this earth is not going to change until we come into the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is King of kings, and that he's Lord of lords. He is our mediator. So whenever you're having difficulties, whenever you're having a hard time, whenever things are not going your way, call on the blood. Give it to Jesus. And tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood, because there's so much power in the blood of Jesus. That the blood never, that our natural blood never loses its power. Can you imagine the blood of Jesus? It never loses its power, amen. If they can still get a DNA, if they can still extract DNA from dry blood, What you think about Jesus' blood? What do you think about the blood of Jesus? It is better than the blood of the lambs, the goats, and the bullocks. Because, see, that was just a temporary washing. But the blood of Jesus is a permanent, forever washing when you get the blood of Jesus in your life. But you have to confess him with your mouth. You have to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shall be saved. One thing I like about God's shells, they're all loaded. They're all loaded. His shell, you shall be saved. Amen. Ain't no guesswork about this. You will be saved if you confess with your mouth and you got to believe it in your heart. Because as my wife said, the demons believe, but they have a mental contract. Our contract has to be from the heart. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen.